Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Miami, and her preaching today is entitled Jesus's Travel Guidelines.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what's offered to you, for the laborer deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" Jesus wasn't the only game in town. It's subtle, but you can pick up hints of that in today's gospel passage in Luke. There were other charismatic movements in Israel at the time who had preachers traveling from town to town to rouse interest and enthusiasm. Most notable among these, the Zealots, a religious political movement set on overthrowing the Roman government and returning Israel to political independence with the understanding that God alone is king. Because of their common emphasis on the kingdom of God, it's easy to understand how those two moments could become intertwined in the minds of hearers. But Jesus didn't want that. And so he gave his own traveling preachers guidelines that would distinguish them from the zealots. Unlike the zealots, they were not to carry money bags or sacks to collect funds or weapons for their cause. They were not to wear sandals, which would allow for a quick escape. The Gospel of Matthew also denies a walking stick that could be used as a weapon. Basically, they were, in contrast to the zealots, to travel defenseless, vulnerable. Jesus's movement proclaimed a kingdom of peace, of nonviolence, which is evidenced by the way that they were to greet the households they entered. Peace to this household. It was in contrast to the violent Sicarii branch of the zealot movement that was known to kill locals who did not sympathize with their theocratic vision. Because this put Jesus's preachers in such a vulnerable position, he taught his preachers to live in a radical trust that God, as their father, would meet their daily needs for food and shelter as fathers in that time and culture were expected to do, through the generous hospitality of brothers and sisters on the ground, a network of families like Martha and Mary and Lazarus, who were sympathetic to Jesus' efforts and would take care of his preachers whenever they passed through town. Jesus' preachers were to accept such hospitality without being ashamed. It was okay that they had very human needs for food and drink and lodging. The laborer deserves payment. But they were to recognize that such hospitality always came as gift, and to live in a state of gratitude for whatever a place was able to offer them. As someone who has in the last couple of years taken up itinerant preaching for the kingdom as a way of life, this passage intrigues me probably more than most, because I do carry a credit card, often two pairs of sandals, and a carry-on bag that weighs more than a sack of bowling balls. I read this gospel and it makes me feel like a total fraud. But at the same time, I can testify that I experience the economy described by this gospel as still alive and well in the Christian community. When I'm at my best, I enter into the vulnerability of life on the road, and I don't try to control it all. And inevitably, there are travel delays, and there are nights when I end up in cities that I did not expect to be staying in, and there are so many times when I am totally at the mercy of people who I have never met before. Times when I arrive without anything to offer but a wish for peace. And this is what I can give witness to. That the Christian community, when it is at its best, and honestly, even when it's not at its best, is nevertheless a place of hospitality. Through the hands of my sisters and brothers in faith, God the Father has consistently taken such good care of me. So much better than I deserve. And as I sit here just thinking about it, it could make me tear up. The 80-year-old Jesuit who loaned me his coat and hat last month when I got stuck in a freak winter storm in Montana because he claimed it still wasn't cold enough for him to need it. His housemate who arrived at my door with a cantaloupe just because. The Anglican minister's wife who I've never met before but knew I would be coming to Victoria and asked if I needed a place to stay in their home, even as she let me know it was a wild and crazy place. I could go on, but I won't because I suspect that you know what I'm talking about, either as someone who's been on the receiving end of such generosity or one of those who regularly offers it, being the hands and feet of God the Father in the world. This week in Adrian, Michigan, Dominicans who have a particular concern and care for the ongoing preaching mission of the order in the U.S. and Canada are meeting to reflect on their work. In light of that gathering, and particularly the gospel we're given today, perhaps as an online community of hearers of the word, we could set apart some time today just to marvel at this strange, fragile system of vulnerability and hospitality that continues to sustain the Jesus movement even up to today. And we can pause to be grateful for the providence always at work, the generosity always in our midst that makes the sharing of God's kingdom possible. ¶¶